Thanks for downloading this podcast. I'm Kelly Beatty of Sky and Telescope magazine, and tonight we're going on a tour of the stars and planets that you'll see overhead during January. I'll bet that many of you now have a shiny new telescope to call your own. That's great. You're on the way to discovering many amazing things in the night sky. But here's a tip. Fumbling with unfamiliar screws and knobs out in the dark and cold is no fun. So set up your scope completely indoors and make sure you understand how it works before taking it out for a test drive. Then go outside during daylight, when you can see what you're doing, to check the focus and to align the finder scope on a distant tree or utility pole. Okay, this year opens with double-barreled celestial action. On Tuesday, January 4th, there's a deep partial eclipse of the sun that favors Europe, especially Scandinavia, also Northern Africa and Western Asia. Depending on the location, up to 80% of the sun's disk will be covered. For many Europeans, the eclipse is already in progress at sunrise. Unfortunately, none of it is visible from North America. But if you're lucky enough to see it, be sure to use extreme care when viewing the sun. See the eclipse section of skyandtelescope.com for safe sun-watching techniques. 2011 also opens with one of the best displays of shooting stars all year. The quadranted meteor shower peaks in the first week of each January, and usually we can count on the quadrantids to give us a brief but intense burst of meteors. These get their name from Quadrans Muralis, an obsolete constellation near the handle of the Big Dipper. The meteors seem to radiate from that point in the sky. The quadrantids have a sharp, short peak, which comes at a time that, again, favors Europeans on the morning of January 4th. Just a few hours before the solar eclipse. That translates to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time the previous evening, January 3rd, which is a little too early to be optimal for us because the shower's radiant doesn't climb high over the northeastern horizon until after midnight. Still, it's worth watching. On a good night, the quadrantids can deliver at least one meteor per minute. Now, if you're stuck in North America, don't fret about missing the eclipse or the peak of the quadrantids. The great thing about winter is that the sky can be incredibly clear, making the stars seem all the more like dazzling gems. And winter evening skies feature an amazing collection of bright stars and one awesomely bright planet. The moon is new on the 4th, which is why there's a solar eclipse, by the way, so those evening stars will be especially pretty as the new year begins and the crescent moon starts its climb after about the 7th. As evening falls, you can't miss brilliant Jupiter high up in the southwest at dusk. The king of planets has been ruling the evening roost for several months now, but its westward march means that we're gradually moving farther away from it as Earth arcs along its orbit. Right now, Jupiter is only about half as bright as it was 3 months ago, but it's still a great addition to the sky's evening lineup. Once it's good and dark, look just to the upper right of Jupiter. Can you spot a group of 5 dim stars in the shape of a small pentagon? This is a part of the constellation Pisces, the celestial home of 2 mythological fishes tied together by a rope. They're actually Venus and her son Cupid in disguise, who are trying to escape from Typhon, a fire monster with 100 heads. That circlet of 5 stars marks one of the 2 fishes swimming out of harm's way. Now, turn around to your left so you're facing east. Soon you'll see the stars of Orion, the Great Hunter, striding up from the eastern horizon. Look in particular for a trio of bright stars in a vertical row. These mark Orion's belt, and there's nothing else like them in the sky. Look to the left of the belt by about the width of your fist held at arm's length. That bright star is called Betelgeuse, and it marks the hunter's shoulder. Maybe you've heard it called Betelgeuse, like that weird movie character. Use whatever works for you. Study Betelgeuse a bit, and maybe you'll notice that it's got a warm, almost peachy color. That's because this star is a red supergiant, a truly massive star that's swollen to tremendous size in its old age. How big is big? If Betelgeuse were the center of our solar system, then not only Earth, but even Mars would be orbiting inside the star. But Betelgeuse still looks like a pinpoint in the sky because it's very far away, about 400 light years. To the right of Orion's belt, again about a fist away, is another very bright star that marks the hunter's knee. This star, called Rigel, shines with an intense blue-white light. Rigel is roughly twice as far away in space as Betelgeuse, yet it's a little brighter. So why is that? It turns out that Rigel is one of the most prodigious stars in the known universe. It pumps out 40,000 times as much light as our own sun. And whereas Betelgeuse looks reddish because its surface is relatively cool, Rigel is literally white hot, about 20,000 degrees Fahrenheit. Now let's hunt down a couple of star clusters. Shift your gaze upward from Orion's belt by about two fists until you run into another bright beacon with a slightly orange cast. That's a red giant star called Aldebaran, and it marks the angry eye of Taurus the Bull. Aldebaran also serves as the anchor for a loose, V-shaped cluster of stars called the Hyades. In early evening, the V is lying on its side, with its bottom pointing toward the right, and its top, the bull's horns, pointing toward the left. Depending on the darkness of your sky, you might be able to pick out anywhere from just a few to as many as 20 stars in the Hyades. Curiously, Aldebaran itself doesn't officially belong to the group. It's just a bright star that happens to lie between us and the cluster. Keep looking higher up in the sky, by about the width of another fist, until you spot a fuzzy little spot that you can just cover with the tip of a finger. This is also a star cluster called the Pleiades. Another name for it is the Seven Sisters, or Subaru in Japanese. You think I'm kidding, right? Well, the next time you see a Subaru on the street, check out the logo. It's a stylized group of stars. In mythology, the Pleiades were the seven daughters of Atlas and Pleione. When Atlas angered some other gods, he was ordered to support the whole world on his shoulders as punishment. Devastated, the daughters all burst into tears, and to ease their sorrow, the head god, mighty Zeus, placed them together in the heavens. This cluster appears in Native American legends as well. One story tells of seven Indian maidens who climb a tree stump to escape from bears. Eventually, the Great Spirit rescues the maidens from their perch and places them in the sky. If you've got a small telescope or even binoculars, take a closer look at the Pleiades. You'll see that there are dozens of beautiful stars in this grouping, clumped together in the sky like fiery diamonds on black velvet. Now, since lots of us get up in the dark this time of year, here's a treat to make those early risings a little less dreary. Look toward southeast before dawn, and you can't miss seeing dazzling Venus well above the horizon. Because it orbits closer in than Earth does, Venus is always generally near the sun in the sky. On January 8th, however, the two are as far apart as they can get. That's when Venus reaches what astronomers call its greatest elongation. On that morning, it'll be 47 degrees from the sun, and depending on your latitude, it'll rise up to 4 hours before the sun does. This month also features the greatest elongation of Mercury, 23 degrees from the sun, on January 9th. Mercury orbits even closer in and can be tough to spot, but it also rises well before the sun does these mornings. About an hour before sunrise, look for Mercury to the lower left of Venus, down close to the horizon. It helps if the sky is especially clear, so if Mercury eludes you at first, try again another morning. By month's end, it'll be too low to see. If you want more sky watching tips, check out skyandtelescope.com. Until next time, I wish you clear skies.